The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
And with us, it is a good, I just got to send this out. It is a good, good Tuesday. Short week. NFL season opens up on Thursday night. We have U of A at home on Saturday night. We have Arizona State home on Saturday night. It is the start of the football season in earnest. There is not a weekend without football on the pro end for the next 20-some-odd weeks. And for that, with the legalization of sports betting in our state starting later this week, it's just a really interesting time. It really is. And it's fun. It's fun. But I'll fill you in on the but here in a minute. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. On today's show, Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. So Fabs has redone his set. He's got these collector's helmets, and I don't know, there's always something with him. A few weeks back, it was his championship belts. But he's going to give you some starts and some sits for your fantasy football team, and it's the Hall of Famer that's doing it. So you're going to want to be in for that. That comes up at 10:20. Kyle Odegaard with compare.bet. Of course, Kyle left the Cardinals and has ventured out to a very smart move, I think, on his part with compare.bet. He's going to look at games from the betting point of view. Again, it becomes legalized here in the state and gets started up later this week. That's all straight ahead on today's show. I want to get into the Cardinals, but I feel like getting into the Cardinals is just going to be one of those wait and see approaches. So they play Tennessee this week. It's the highest total on the board this week, 52.5 points. And I thought, you know, last time I checked, this was supposed to be a Cardinal defense that everybody believed in. You know, you got Chandler Jones coming back. J.J. Watt is here. Buda Baker, Byron Murphy, 52.5 points. And then you look at it and say, okay, well, they've got Derrick Henry over there at Tennessee. And they've got a very good receiving core. They, of course, added Julio Jones. And so Ryan Tannehill's found himself. It's a team that won 11 games last season. It's a really tough opener for the Cardinals. Really tough opener. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they are all about. And again, all the NFL gets started with the Cowboys and Patriots, and that will be on Thursday night. On the college side of things, I went to Arizona State's opener last Thursday against Southern Utah. And the more that I see games like Southern Utah and ASU, or what happened to UNLV where they lost to Eastern Washington, and now UNLV is the latest victim for ASU to come here. The line is 33. And the Sun Devil fans are in my circles. And those are the ones that I think see things objectively. There were people the other night that were trying to convince me in their own way that was a really impressive opener. And I'm like, that was dog food. Are you serious? The opening kick went out of bounds. Their special teams were not special in any way, shape, or form. Yes, they did settle down in the second half. That is true. It was borderline abuse, if you think about it, for Southern Utah University. Two games in 5 days on the college level? It shouldn't have been a game. It was a close game for a bit. Those that see things only through maroon shorts below their knees and yellow shirts will say, that was a great showing. And I would say, no, it wasn't. And I don't have it in for anybody over there. I don't. If you're going to walk around, stick your chest out and say, we are the Sun Devils, and we're all that, and a bag of chips, and you come out in your first game with 13 penalties against Southern Utah? So now you have UNLV. Well, there's a real juggernaut. They're favored by 33, the Sun Devils are, and UNLV found a way to lose their opener to Eastern Washington. And people are going to say, well, that's disrespectful towards the Big Sky, and yeah, and Montana beat Washington, I know, on any given day. I know. What I have to put into context is this is an enormous year for Arizona State to finally win a Pac-12 South. And if you looked at how UCLA played versus how now it's their second game, I understand that. You saw UCLA just jack stomped, kicked around LSU on Saturday night, beat the tar out of Hawaii. Good teams dispose of teams that aren't good or less than competition, and they get them out of the way. They don't dink around with 13 penalties. So I'm supposed to sit here this coming Saturday night and watch ASU against UNLV and take anything from it? Now, I am going. Claudia Faust is going. We're going to Provo, Utah next week. Santan Ford stepped up, said you're going to go to every road game this year, Brad. So because Tim Hovick is a big Sun Devil fan and a big sports fan, yeah, we're going to go to every single game. We're going to go to Corvallis in November. Nobody likes to go to Corvallis in November. I don't mind. We'll see which one of the staff or two of the staff are going to be stepping forward and saying, I want to go see that Dutch Bros in Corvallis. Everybody's lined up to go to Seattle. Oh, man, I want to go to Seattle, Brad. Woo, choose me, choose me. Yeah, that's easy. And, of course, going to see the UCLA game now has taken on more importance. So just see how UCLA has come out of the gate and how good they look. That game in October, tell you what, that's going to be a tough one. So 33. U of A, I watched them the other night for about three quarters. We had two of our team up there, Jordan Spurgeon and Jordan Hamm. And I thought the Wildcats looked obviously better than anything was better than the crapola that they looked like last year or even 2 years under Kevin Sumlin. It's been like 700 plus days since U of A won a football game. So I'm not going to sit here and say off the top, well, they lost again. Try to turn around the Titanic, man. They're actually favored in some places for this weekend's home opener against San Diego State. Now, Jed Fish has come in and he's talked a very good game. He has. He's come in and he's done some really smart things in getting fans excited and fired up. I think it's interesting that Steve Kerr is being brought in to be the honorary captain for the team. No one is more beloved in Tucson than Steve Kerr. And so fans of basketball will show up to watch Steve Kerr if he is going to flip the coin or whatever. They'll show up to watch Steve Kerr. It's big on Steve Kerr to say, okay, you need to come out and support what U of A football is trying to do because we've been a basketball school. The fact that they're favored, and I watched San Diego State the other night a little bit against New Mexico State, and that was a hard watch. That's all I'm going to say. But Gunnar Cruz, yeah, I know him. Yeah, I watched him in high school. I saw Will Plummer, loved him in high school. But right now, Gunnar Cruz is the better quarterback for that team. And Barry Hill played well at wide receiver. So, you know, I think U of A is going to win that game. Obviously, ASU is going to win that game. And I don't like the Cardinals this weekend against Tennessee. I think it's a really hard road opener against a team that won 11 games last season. But we'll get more into that with Kyle Odegaard here in a few minutes with compare.bet. Right around the corner, Michael Fabiano on the Fantasy Focus. I will say one thing, though, about the legalization of sports betting. I myself think it's great. I have no problems with it. There are some that think that it's evil. It's just a bad thing in society. And I'm not going to disagree with them because I've worked with a compulsive sports bettor before. He would get phone calls in the back room. And those of you that have seen me through the years do this, you know who I'm talking about. And I love this guy. I loved working with him. But it was just a bad deal. It was a bad deal. We get calls in the back office telling him he's got until 4 o'clock to pay up or else. Click. You know, and it destroyed his life because he just felt like he was invincible and can throw money around. So if you're going to do this, I hate to sound like a public service announcement because I'm not. It's just, I feel like if you consume what we do here, you know that it's not all about backup tight ends and third string linebackers. It's just not us. It's not our space. Others can do that and knock themselves out. We really like our little community. Kind of like the people here. So if you're going to go do it and go headlong into it, and it's not something you've been a part of before, just be careful. Be smart. If you want to go out and put down some money that you've earned on the Cardinals and you think that I'm full of it, you think that they're going to cover that total of 52.5, you're going to take the over on 52.5 and you enjoy yourself, but you're not going to put your family in harm's way. You're not just going to go out and be totally irresponsible with this and just piss away life. So that's the only thing I'd say on is be smart. All right, have some fun with it. We released another documentary yesterday. It's not just another documentary. It's Jordan Hamm. So Jordan and I were talking after the Cardinals drafted Zaven Collins last April. And we both came to the agreement that it's a pretty cool story. He's two-dot town. I don't even know if there's a stop sign or stoplight, whatever. But there's nothing there. So let's go there and tell the story. In this day and age, in a lot of media companies, it's you sit behind a microphone or you sit on a desk and you get the guy in front of his locker out on the field. No, Jordan went back to Oklahoma for 3 days. And he put this whole piece together on his own. He didn't have any help, or very little help, I should say. And so his teammates, I think Devin was there. Devin Henry was there to help him a little bit in the end with some graphics. But Jordan shot it, wrote it, put it together. It's a tremendous, tremendous piece. It's 17 minutes long, okay? It's not going to take away your whole day. But I would encourage you to check it out. I would encourage you, if you're a fan of football and you're a fan of local, or if you're from Oklahoma, I think you're going to find this to be a really interesting watch. It's well done, well produced, well put together. If you've not seen our first documentary that we put together from this summer series, then go see that on Zach Hoffpower. It's up on the website. Also on the website, we've got plenty of college content. John Wilner is now part of Sports 360 AZ. We carry his content. He's with the San Jose Mercury News. He is nice enough to provide his columns for us every week. If you're a diehard Pac-12 fan, there's plenty of stuff there. Claudia Faust and Jordan Spurgeon launched their own high school show. Claudia and Zach Alvira from the Tribune newspaper and Eric Sorensen are going to chop it up every Monday on the AZ Audible segment. Devin Henry is going to get on planes and go to Kansas Motorsports Speedway. Easy for me to talk. He's going to go to Las Vegas for NASCAR down the stretch and then go do his thing, as he's done the last several years here with the company, out of Phoenix Raceway. Yeah, I'm kind of plugging us a little bit today, but I feel like if you go to the site and just check out some of the things that are up there along with this show, that you'll be entertained and informed. That's what it's about. All right, enough of that. Michael Fabiano is next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, it is the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano with Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM, and I'm looking at your set. What have you done here? It's the opening week, and you're redesigning. That is a Dolphins helmet in the corner.
Yeah, but you see the Cowboys ones up at the top. You got the Cowboys jerseys, then you got some of my trophies. I got the belts hanging over here. Yeah. And I went and just got a bunch of my favorite helmets, and I have more coming. So there'll be a few more coming up, but like all my favorite helmets historically in the NFL. So like Atlanta's never been better than the Reds from the 70s. The Eagles have never been better than the Kelly Greens with the gray Eagles wing from the 70s and 80s. The old Dolphins with the gray face mask, the Bob Greasy helmets. And then you can see Pat the Patriot, a superior logo to the current Elvis Patriots logo. And then, of course, the Buccaneers.
Move over to the side. It's fine. Hey, it's on the air. It's fine. I want people to see this. Yeah.
There's the Bucs right there.
Yeah.
That's the superior Bucs helmet. What they got on is okay, but that's the best one, the creamsicles. And then the Oilers with the red face match. Those are also the cream of the crop for Houston. And their jerseys were like some of the best jerseys in sports history. I've got the Giants 80s with the Giants underlined coming, the Jets from the 80s from the Freeman McNeil and Richard Todd days. I got the Broncos 80s with the D with the horse inside of it, the blue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one of my favorites is coming in too, the Seahawks 70s and 80s, the silver helmet with the blue face mask.
Yep.
I like what they have now, but it's not nearly as good as the Steve Largent, Jim Zorn days. Those were amazing, amazing uniform. So I've got a few, and then I've also got the Colts with the gray face mask. I feel like the old school helmets look good with the gray face mask, like the Steelers, the Vikings, the Dolphins. I love NFL history, so this is all part of it. I figured, you know what, I'm going to put a little something together here since I'll be working from home exclusively for the foreseeable future.
Yes. So the Ezekiel Elliott jersey that's over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Where does he go in the first round of most of your mock drafts so far?
I've seen him go as high as 3, and I've seen him go as low as like 8.
And where have you taken him?
I have him ranked 4th. So if I'm up at 4 and Zeke's there, I'm taking him.
Yeah. Have you taken him on any of your teams?
Oh, yeah. I got 14 leagues, man. I have one draft tonight. My last draft is tonight, the Allison Chains in Friends League. So I'm heading over to Jerry Cantrell's this afternoon to go do the draft there. Just me and Jerry are hanging out. Normally, wow, everybody gets together, but like because of COVID,
yeah.
I got tested and I'm negative, thank goodness. So I'm going to go to Jerry's, hang out, just the two of us, do the draft. It's going to be on Sirius XM, 8 to 10 Eastern. It'll be myself, The Miz, Duff McKagan, Mike Inez, Scott Ian from Anthrax, Michael Bublé, Slim Jim Phantom. I mean, we've got a really great bunch of guys, so it's always a lot of fun.
That is awesome. That is awesome. All right, so let's just go through some of these questions. A lot of them are generic that I've gotten, but I feel like for you as the Hall of Famer coming into this week of week one, the player that you feel like everybody is saying, we got to have him, and you're thinking this is going to be a complete train wreck. Who is that guy? Who is that guy this year?
A guy that – see, like, I'm not big on Daryl Henderson. I'll tell you – and I've drafted him a bunch, but only as a flex starter. And I got him in a draft last night as an RB4. In that case, I'm fine. But when Cam Akers went down and Henderson was the guy and he was getting pumped up into the third round, and I'm thinking, no way. Like, yeah, the Rams don't even believe in this guy. Like, think about it. What did McVay say when we found out that Akers was going to be out and Henderson would be the guy? We're not going to play Henderson at all in the preseason. We're not concerned about his playmaking skills. Basically, we're worried about his availability, in so many words. That's exactly what he said, right? Like, he didn't say it like that, but that's what he meant, at least in my opinion. And then when Henderson got hurt, he hurt his thumb. Like, just a little thumb. The next day, they traded for Sonny Michel. So, like, if you get Henderson as, like, your flex starter or your RB4, like, that's fine.
Michael Fabiano with us for a couple of minutes. All right, let's get into this before I get you out of here. And that is A.J. Dillon is getting a whole lot of run. We go back to the question, who's getting overhyped? Where are you at on A.J. Dillon coming into this week?
I don't think he's overhyped. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of role he plays in this offense, right? Because last year, you know, he had that one huge game that got everyone all excited against Tennessee, but their run defense was garbage. So adding Aaron Jones – keep in mind, this is not a 20-touch-per-game guy. Aaron Jones is going to get the ball 15, 16 times a game. Dillon's going to get some of his. Maybe he gets some of the goal line work, which would obviously hurt Aaron Jones. I don't think he's going to do much as a pass catcher, but Dillon's not a guy I'm going to start this week. I want to see what the role is. But certainly somebody that if Aaron Jones ever goes down, Dillon could end up being a league winner in that ridiculous offense that, well, you can't stop the run by spread by stacking that line of scrimmage because Aaron Rodgers will pick you apart. So yeah, Dillon's a guy that, you know, you grabbed as an RB4 and you're maybe hoping that he gets more touches and has a bigger role than some folks have projected out there, but he'll have some standalone flex value.
All right. Starts and sits. You put that out earlier, right? Your starts and sits.
Yeah. We put it up today this week because it's the first week of the season. So moving forward, this will be going up probably on Wednesdays, but we gave everybody out there a little day head start because, you know, you don't have to worry about injury reports and all that kind of stuff. You know, where it's week one, you know, we kind of know who's who. So, yeah, so the starts and sits are up. I'll give you a couple per position. How's that?
Yeah, that's cool. Fire away. Starts and sits for week one.
Digging on Jalen Hurts this week against Atlanta. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I like him against that bad defense. Ryan Tannehill, sorry, Cardinals fans. Your defensive backfield has got some question marks going into week one. Not anything that you guys don't already know.
Some question marks.
Yeah. So I think Tannehill's a good play. I'm interested to see what that offense looks like with Julio Jones. Quarterbacks that I'm sitting this week, Ben Roethlisberger against the Bills. He's failed to score more than 13.5 fantasy points in 5 career games against Buffalo. Just a fun trend that you know I like to pull out there. And then Jameis, like if you're in a 2QB league, I could start him. I get it. You know, there could be a high-scoring game, but it's a home game for the Saints where they're playing in Jacksonville because of Hurricane Ida. And, you know, Jameis, outside of Alvin Kamara, I mean, I know Marquez Callaway has been great. I mean, does that translate into the regular season? I mean, time will tell. But if I'm in a traditional league, I'm probably keeping Jameis on the sidelines. Some running backs to start this week, James Robinson. Raheem Mostert, like him this week as well. Gus Edwards. Now, I mean, the Ravens, all their running backs are hurt except for Edwards.
Yep.
Right? I mean, They've got Tyson Williams behind him on the depth chart, and that's it. Running backs to sit. Now, you take this with a grain of salt. If you don't have better running backs than Josh Jacobs, you probably got to play him. The matchup against Baltimore is not great. And then DeAndre Swift, you probably got to play him, assuming he's active, but he missed a lot of the summer with injuries, and I just don't know that he's going to get a full workload after coming off of a camp and a preseason where he didn't do that much because he was banged up, and Jamal Williams could be pretty prominent, at least in week one. So I would keep Swift on the bench if I could. At wide receiver, T. Higgins in what could be a high-scoring game against Minnesota. Their defensive backfield has question marks. Brandon Ayuk, keep in mind that he's been dealing with a little bit of a hammy, but it looks like he's going to be good to go. Debo Samuel in that same game is a good play as well, especially if Ayuk is a late and active. I like Devontae Smith this week as a flex starter in a good matchup. Wide receiver just sit. Okay, OBJ, get it. You probably can't play him. Don't love the matchup. And remember, OBJ in Cleveland, 12 points per game, no great shakes. Kenny Galladay, if active, I don't touch him against Denver. He did nothing in the preseason. He's hurt. Looks like he could be back, but I just don't trust that Giants offense. I think they're going to struggle. And I mentioned Callaway, like everyone's all on Callaway, and I totally get it. I mean, I drafted him too. Does it translate? Does he pick up Jair Alexander this week? And that would be kind of a difficult matchup for the kids. So Callaway's probably a flex starter at best for me. At tight end, I like Dallas Goedert. I like Logan Thomas based on the matchups. And some tight ends that I would be fading this week, Gerald Everett. And tight end's tough. Like, I write about so many players, and I can't mention Kelsey. I can't mention Kittle. I can't mention Waller. I can't mention Andrews. I can't mention Pitts. And I can't mention Hockenson because they're all must-starts. So that shrinks my pool of players that I can talk about in tight end, folks, just to let you know. But Jared Cook is a guy that I'd fade this week. Everett's a guy that I'd fade this week. The top six guys, you got to play every week, every single week, including Pitts, unless he's a disaster, which hopefully he won't be. Tight end's thin. Let's put it that way. At tight end, Brad, you're going to start the guys that you drafted to be your number ones, especially in that top six.
Yeah. Get a lot of questions about Tyrod Taylor, and here's why. So we saw what happened with him and the Chargers in the freak deal last year. So he goes down to Houston. Houston stinks. They're not any good. But he's going to be in a space, and I'm not saying you look at him very early or even middle. He's going to be there towards the end of some drafts, but there's some people that are interested. I'm getting questions about now that he's the guy. What do you think, Fabs?
I actually think that Tyrod could be a nice DFS bargain this week if you decide to go cheap at quarterback. The Jaguars defense doesn't look like it's going to be all that great.
Right.
Could be a high scoring game.
Yep.
And like this is a tale of two bad teams that could potentially light each other up. Right. I mean, I really like Brandon Cooks this week. I really do. Now the backfield, I have no idea. But if you're in a 2QB superflex league and you didn't do a really good job at drafting depth and Tyrod's out there, or maybe you grabbed him late, like I could see starting him as a QB too. Like, absolutely. I'm not expecting 20 points. But I can get 16 to 18 from him against the Jags in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Tyrod, he's got a lot to prove too, because everyone's like, well, Deshaun Watson's the starter. But, I mean, with the deal going on, the off-field stuff, and you know, that stuff is all horrible. A lot of people are overlooking Tyrod. A lot of folks are like, I want to see Davis Mills. Well, Tyrod may have a little bit of a motivational factor in this game. And the Jaguars defense is questionable at best. So I'm not running out to the waiver wire to go pick him up.
No.
But if I'm in a 2QB or Superflex league, he can run with it too, Brad. So, I mean, you certainly could do worse.
All right. You have 14 teams, right? Is that what you said?
I have my 14th is tonight.
Okay. You have 14 teams. Of those 14, is there one you look at and say, this team stinks, this team blows? Because I put money into 14 of these teams, and this one just sucks. Or is it, Brad, I killed it in all 14. I'm going to put 14 belts up behind me, baby.
I don't say any of my teams stink, because they don't. Are there teams that are better than others? Hell yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. You go from like a 10-team league to a 14-team league? Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a big difference. But now, remember that the team that you have right now oftentimes is maybe going to be half of the squad you have at the end of the season.
Yep.
So even if there's some folks out there who maybe don't like their drafts and they don't like the teams that they ultimately drafted, you can change that in a big way off the waiver wire via trades. It's week one, everybody's 0-0.
Yep. All right. Have fun. Entertaining segment as always. There is Fabs. You can find him on SiriusXM.
Look at that. Look at that. Oh, Buccaneers. That's a beauty right there, Brad.
Why don't you put on that Oilers helmet as we go to
I
break?
Can't. Here, I'll show you. Look.
These, is it too small?
No. They have the thing in the middle. Now, right now, puts a thing in the middle. So, like, I can.
Yeah, see? That's good. Turn to the side. Turn to the side.
That's
there.
Bad, right? Do I look like Earl Campbell?
You look bad there. You look like Dan Pastorini, man.
Dan Pastorini? I was just going to say Dan Pastorini.
You are really good. You're not Billy White Shoes Johnson, but you're close. We'll be back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, let's get inside the numbers now with Kyle Odegaard with Compare.bet, sports and gaming editor. It is opening week of the NFL season. Kyle made the transition from the Cardinals to this about 6 weeks ago. And I guess the first line item would have to be they're expecting a shootout between the Cardinals and Titans. A total of 52.5, Kyle. What is this all about?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the offenses for these teams, and both of them have the propensity to make fireworks with Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown on one side, and then you've got Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, if he can step up. I mean, there's definitely some good players, and then you look at the quarterback situations for each side. Obviously, the Malcolm Butler retirement is really going to hurt the Cardinals. You might have a rookie playing outside, or if Byron Murphy's on the outside, then you're slot cornerback position is a little bit questionable. So a lot of questions for these defenses, especially in the secondary, and there's some good offensive players in this game.
But hey, all I've heard about is JJ Watt is here and Chandler Jones is back, and this defense is going to be really good. So when I saw 52.5, I'm thinking the people that are in the know more than we just looking on the outside know. The spread is what, 2.5 last I saw?
Yeah, Cardinals are 2.5 point underdogs, which isn't bad considering you're on the road against a good opponent. So I think that gives the Cardinals some respect in this game, and the odds makers think it'll be close. Obviously, these coin flip type games are so important for every team in the NFL. If the Cardinals can go on the road and get a road upset in week one, that puts you on a good path moving forward.
What about the money line in this game? Does that interest you at all?
Yeah, the Cardinals are plus 135, and that's obviously better payoff than the spread, but the Cardinals would have to win that game outright. I do like it because at 2.5 point spread, that means if the Cardinals lose by a field goal, they don't cover. And that's seems like how so many games come down to field goals in the NFL. I could totally see them losing on a last second field goal, and then you don't get that cover. So I do like the money line better than the spread.
Kyle Odegaard knows all, tells all with Compare.bet, opening week of the NFL season. Make sure you go over to Compare.bet. All right, over on the college side, I mean, ASU's favored by 33. And what do you make out of this on Saturday night at Sun Devil Stadium against UNLV, a team that lost to a 1AA squad?
Yeah, it's like last week when they were 45-point favorites in that game, the biggest spread of any college football game. It's so hard in the non-conference slate because a team can get up by 35 in the fourth quarter, and then does the other team get the garbage touchdown and cover? So it's really hard, but you know, I do like ASU. I think they have explosiveness. You see a lot of college teams struggling scoring the ball, and I think ASU is one of the teams that can score. So as scary as that line is, I do think there's credence to taking ASU.
Total is 55, though, and I'm there last week in the press box, and I'm seeing them step all over themselves, and I'm looking and last week I took the over, and this week I'm like, are they gonna get it cleaned up? Is UNLV gonna come in desperate? I kind of feel like I'm gonna go under on this one. What about you?
I think that's the big question. It felt like the penalties were so bad in the opener for ASU. If they can clean that up, obviously you move the ball better. So I think it'll be a cleaner game. Sometimes without preseason in college, there's a lot of stuff to work out in week one. I think we saw that across the college football landscape. So hopefully a little bit better look this time. But I agree with you. I think the under does make sense.
U of A taking on San Diego State late night down in Tucson. Wildcats haven't won a game in over 700 days, not making that up. I've seen Pick'em. I've seen the Wildcats by one. What do you make out of this game?
I actually like what I saw out of U of A in their opener. I thought the stuff Jed Fish did going for it around his, 30-yard line or something a couple times. I appreciate that aggressiveness, especially because it's a rebuilding team and you need to take some chances when you're the underdog. In this game, obviously, they're not. I do think U of A can win this one. They obviously aren't as talented as most teams in the Pac-12, but it's a pretty good matchup for them. I think Jed Fish gets his first win.
Kyle Odegaard, compare.bet. Anything else that catches your eye here in the opening week? And of course, the legalization of sports betting is later on this week. Any other games or just the general thoughts on the legalization here in the state?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a different time for Arizona where you can start betting legally on games. And I'm sure everybody's seen the ads for all the different sports books trying to get users. And to me, I like the NFL. I'm interested in the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're a team that is getting a little bit overlooked because they're not the Chiefs. But I think Baltimore is the second best team in the AFC. And, you know, I think they're 4-point favorites in the opener. And there's an interesting prop bet to me about the Ravens being the last undefeated team in the NFL. If they can beat the Chiefs in their big early season matchup, it could happen. So that's my favorite early season prop bet.
It's good stuff there from Kyle Odegaard, compare.bet. And we're back with more after this timeout.